You know, I was saying, you know, in South Africa, you have maids, you have people that clean for you, you have this. And I've been in Europe, I've lived in Europe. You do everything yourself. So I think we're just,
I know that
culture shock
way too well. I spent 7 weeks or so in Australia, and my hosts were wealthy people. They clean their own homes, they do their own washing. They don't even have pay TV. Like, you know, and we don't realize that they actually...
Yeah, so it's not gloom, it's life. Yeah. That's the world has been there. We are just sort of catching on. And because, you know, not that South Africans, we don't like change, but we've just been through so many changes. I think we're like, it's too soon.
We need a break. Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan. I'm your host, Rams Mabote. We have come to the end of 2025. This is the very final episode of 2025. And I thought I wanted to speak to some industry, a specific industry of people who do amazing stuff, but they don't know how to sell the things that they do, right? So I brought a guest who also is in that industry, an author, a musician, a performing artist, a recording artist, but also somebody who works in the Gauteng Film Commission as head of comms and marketing there. Nanomu TV is my guest, and we're going to talk about all sorts of things. And welcome to you, Nano. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much, Rams. Congratulations on the work that you've been doing. And it's been picking up very nicely.
Thank you. And, thank you.
And thank you for inviting me finally.
You know, I had to leave the best for last. Right? We're doing this at the end of the best for last,
I
right?
I tell you.
Right?
Thank you so much. I feel
excellent.
That.
Excellent.
I feel
so
that.
I want to move the GFC out of the way very quickly, but just for the purposes of people who are watching us, because I mentioned it, what does the Gauteng Film Commission do? What is it?
So we're a funding agency.
Uh-huh.
For the filming industry.
Yes.
So if you, we've got various categories. So we start all the way from script writing. If you are a script, if you have a script that you'd like to research further and investigate and so forth, you can apply to us and we will fund you for that. We've got production. We'll film. We fund production. We fund marketing and distribution of films. So if you've already got a film that you've done and you want to, you know, to market
to
it,
grow
it,
legs.
It you come to us for the funding with your marketing strategy and your communication strategy, and you tell us how you're going to do it, and we fund you. We even do audience development, because you know the film industry is a well recognized industry in terms of community building, family building. So we have people that are very passionate about doing screenings in communities and like the film festival and so on. We've got Abo Makelwane, where they'll have bean bags and they'll get popcorn and they'll get young people to come and watch. And, you know, it's an alternative culture.
Yes.
So we fund that as well. We fund film festivals. Like, you know, we just came from the Soweto Film Festival.
Yes, yes.
Next year, early, we're having the Joburg Film Festival. We have a lot of film festivals where our local filmmakers get an opportunity for their films to be showcased and to be put out there. And those usually are also attended. They're most of the times bundled with film markets where they invite buyers, film buyers. So those are great opportunities. We fund that as well. We fund skills and development. So if you want to do a workshop on filming, even what you do here, Rams, if you want to show more people around what this industry is about, the conversation we're having now, because there's a lot of people that also want to be
in
this,
do this
space,
stuff, right?
But they don't
so one
know
could
where to start and whatnot,
things
because
are done.
We've definitely broadened the definition of film now to audiovisual, where we're saying the film is no longer the big screen only, it's also the small screen. In fact, the small screen has become
any rolling camera becomes
exactly. So your podcasts have become a huge number, a huge part in the filming industry. So we actually have a category that we call film for digital content.
Yeah.
So that's where your podcasters and them they fall under. We've got content for TV, we've got heritage, we've got documentaries, we've got emerging filmmakers. We actually also have enterprise development, where we grant equipment, filming equipment, whether it's your drones.
Yes.
Whatever that you're missing that that is, you know, could take your business to the next level, can apply to us for funding.
What's your email for for something this afternoon. Anyway,
so you follow our pages, Gauteng Film, and the other one is Gauteng Film Commission, and that's where we like clockwork.
Yes,
that's where we will publish our call out.
Everything
we have,
is
what
there,
is called
exactly.
a call out.
Because there are periods of call out.
Exactly. And, yes. So twice a year, or if we have a shortfall, it will be 3 times, maximum 4 times a year. So you click on that, and it will take you. It leads you, and we have the least like strenuous, you know, application requirements, as opposed to your IDTs that require your business plan and financial models.
Like
we don't
that.
Ask any of that.
But at the same time, Nano, I mean, I don't want people to be disillusioned, but I also don't want them to be romantic about this. For every 10 rand that people ask of you, you probably have 1 rand. Budget is always a problem. You don't have enough, but you do as much as you can with what you have, right?
Yeah, certainly. The previous call out that we just came from, I think we had 380 applications. We're looking for about 50. Actually, this is better. We've had 600. We've had years where we've had 800.
Wow.
1,000. So I think this one, because it was towards the end of the year, people are a bit tired. We have a very stringent and standard procedure for combing out the applications. The first one, I don't know, but you've been in government for a long time. You know how this
I've worked with government for
you've
a very long time.
You've heard the word
time.
Compliance over and over and over. That's where a lot of people, they struggle.
So we fall off at the first point of compliance.
Yes. I mean, a simple thing like making sure your ID is certified 3 months instead of 6 months.
Yeah.
Your proof of residence is coinciding with, if you're in Joburg, you can have a proof of residence that says you are living in KZN, for
that
example.
You paid SARS.
Or, you know. You've paid SARS, your CSD. So those are the only ones, but still people struggle with those. And we do a lot of, this year we started doing awareness workshops where we, you know, again, take people through like, this is an ID, this is what certified ID looks like and how it should be. So that's the first phase where a lot of people fall off. And then also, we don't get enough, you know, applications from, you know, your remote areas of our province,
yes.
like Amanskraal,
yes, yes.
Sidibeng, you know, if you go to your Randfontein areas, you know, we get a lot of yes. And then also we don't get enough from women and people with disabilities. So we encourage those. We also encourage animation a lot. So a lot of our limitations come from there. But once we've done with that, usually we'll end up with about 99 to 100 applications that go into adjudication, sometimes up to 200. And then from there, really, it's a standard procedure. We have independent adjudicators. We don't adjudicate. So it doesn't matter how great I think your idea is.
So you reckon
is,
the,
I don't want
the copy
know about
it's not going to help me?
Not at all, because even our adjudicators are highly regulated.
Yeah.
So they get on a system. We have a grant system, and that grant system is literally timed. So if we open it at a particular time, we close it at a particular time. So what that does is that it forces them to apply a certain amount of time per application. And then once they've done that, then they have to write a report to say why they chose these projects. So,
But you know, you're not just this bureaucrat who's been talking now. There's more to you than this. So enough about GFC. You're a recording artist. You're a musician. You also write, right? I mean, let's talk a bit about that. I mean, what's happening in that world? What have you been doing there?
So I published my first book, Not Great But Alive. I think it was 2019, if not 2020. Yeah, 2019. And it's really, it was an autobiographical, you know, account of, you know, the girl child.
Yeah.
And the dynamics, the socioeconomic dynamics of our country. And it's a sort of a precursor to my follow-up book, which is Super Gene, which is more now delving further into this black gene, you know, the African gene, which I believe is the most resilient gene ever since creation.
Yeah.
Because I look at in this book of mine, I look at evolution and I look at what the African has had to endure. And regardless of that, we still end up being like the most popular, you know, the big, greatest population, the strongest population. So if you do medical research on us and all that, we literally are a super gene. So so the not great but alive is a, it's saying we're not great. We're not really have, we've not really come to our glory yet as an African people, but we're still there. Right, we're still alive, and then the second part of it, which is the super gene, it say we're still alive because of this gene, you know, and so I look at history, I look at colonization, I look at I then draw it down to South Africa, how, you know, apartheid has tried to really decompose the African society, the African mindset, and some suggestions on how we, I think we can recover and heal ourselves.
What gets you into that world? What's your background that you end up being interested in stuff like that?
Yeah. So I have always been a historian. I think I'm always interested in the why and the how. I majored in geography, so my degree is in geography because I literally, when I look at a mountain, I want to understand why is it a mountain? What happened for it?
In my entire lifetime, you're the second person I know in life who majored in geography. Wow. Okay. My entire lifetime.
Yeah. I love to understand why things are the way they are because I think that helps me better formulate a solution because I think a lot of us Africans, we're passionate about our liberation, right? All of us, we our generation especially, I think the late the baby boomers, the 2Ks, they have their own way, but the 1Ks and the boomers, we grew up with an obsession because I think we're the generation that experienced apartheid and the rudiments of colonization. Yes. So we've got the pain, we've got that wound, and it will be there. And I think we've somehow managed also to pass it on to the next generation. But the way they are receiving it is they're dealing with it in a different way. They're like, they don't want the pressure. You know, they want to deal with it in their own way. So, but really for me, it's the pain, it's the wound, it's still there. You know, it's oozing, it's leaking. And I do believe, I don't think we'll be free until we see ourselves come to our fullest glory.
Who's responsible for that? Who's going to take us to the fullest glory?
It can only be ourselves. Yeah. We owe it to ourselves and we only ourselves can free ourselves. Yeah.
This gets us very well into the next topic I want us to touch on. And for me, that's the main topic, right? So two books, music. But typically, like many people in the creative space, I don't see your work all over. And I'm guilty as charged myself. I'm not any different from all of us. Why do creatives battle with marketing their work and branding themselves?
We have different struggles. Mine is a very different one. It's an exception. Okay, but I think I can touch on it in a sense that, as you know, we have to put bread on the table, right? So a lot of us, we have to prioritize between, you know, our survival and what we deem to be the luxury of self-expression, right? So if I have to choose between 1 rand now, putting that 1 rand into marketing my music or doing a promotion, an online promotion, because that's all it would take, really. It wouldn't take much, you know. It would probably take 1,000 rand to get me out of this, you know. I've got other needs, very much competing needs, you know. Marketing is expensive as much as it is not. There's a certain extent where you can get without spending a lot, which is why we have PR, which you don't pay for, but you also have to pay for. If I want to get a Rams to do a press release about my wonderful book, I'm sure he's going to charge me something.
Because he has to
hefty.
Eat too.
Exactly. Yeah. You know? So, but a lot of it also, it has to do around our strategies and our understanding of the different marketing models. So if I'm just doing an ordinary business like a Magwenya business or a Kota business or a yeah, I don't need to be online, yes. You know, really. My presence, I need to have an online presence, but I don't need to spend so much on promotion because the people that are probably going to buy are people that are around me.
And
so
probably the same people is the all same, the time.
Yeah. So what the best marketing you can just do there is to be nice to your neighbors,
yes.
You know, and your neighborhood. And you don't even need a fancy billboard. You can just paint it there. And the little marketing, I think, we educated people, it's even harder for us to market ourselves with simple businesses because we've got these big, we want to do ad campaigns,
yes.
Right? But actually, the successful businesses, people that are running businesses, that, like the shoemaker that's been there for 20 years, right? Look at that board. You know, he wrote it with a, you know, with a paid, he just wrote shoes, 50 yes. rand. The impact of that sign, you know, it's much, much greater than the billboard that you see on the M1. If yes. he had a 500,000 and he put a billboard there and says, I'm Makatini, I fix shoes on Corner Lever and Leroux, it won't have any impact. The most impactive part of his marketing is that little board that says 50 rand. Yeah.
Grand.
And also, you know, being able to resonate to your market. So if you're selling a cheap product, there's no point in having an exorbitant marketing strategy that looks exclusive. So we Africans, you know, the new generation, we're talking about new money now.
Yes.
You know, we are so obsessed with exclusivity, high end. You know, whenever we do something, you open a restaurant or a club, 10,000 per table. You know, we want, but that's not... that's not what you need, actually, because if you want the support, your best shot, the only one thing that's going to make me leave my house to come there is knowing that I can afford your meal. But when I'm afraid, I'm like, yo, I wonder if I get there, what if they even look at my shoes? They say, you're not allowed in here with this type of, you know, attire.
Yeah.
And so it's us also being able to talk to our markets.
Well, And I'd like you to give some tips. Like, I mean, we can pick a musician, okay. You can pick a poet, you can pick an author, whatever. But if I were a recording artist and I think that I'm creating amazing music, because we all do, right? I sing in the shower and I think I'm this amazing guy. What do I do practically? Now I've gone to studio, I've produced this thing, I'm taking it to market. What are the easiest, non-expensive but brilliant ways of marketing our work?
So first you have to get it released. You have to get your music released. There's many different release platforms. There's your DistroKid. Mm-hmm. There's your SoundClouds. So you have to go online and literally search distributor, right? And the online distributors like your DistroKid, even TikTok now actually does distribution because everybody, I think, has now realized that there's so much music coming out of South Africa and Africa, and everybody now wants to cash in on it.
Yeah.
So you can even go to TikTok. TikTok has a sound distribution, CML distribution platform. And then from there, that's the easiest part. It's done, right? But to promote it, on the other hand, that's the hard work.
That's the hard part.
That's
what I want you to help us.
Yeah. And, you know, you have to kind of like pace yourself because you're going to burn out. So I there's certain things that I know for a fact that work. I know TikTok promote works. But now, because of, like I'm saying, there's so much money in the My Piano movement, TikTok has also come up with, you know, stringent regulations. So the also challenge with this industry of music is things change. You know, once, you know, artists find a way of, you know, we finally got it. Whoever realizes that this is a cash cow comes and brings something that makes it difficult for us to thrive in that. So, for example, you know, we used to make money from performances.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But now, if you check, nobody wants to pay for a performance anymore. Even if you go to a club, they'll say to you, you can come and perform the first time so we see how you are.
Yeah.
And then expose yourself. Yeah, you expose. Everybody now is saying, okay, you expose yourself. And so the likes of your Spotify's, they've come and they've said, well, you can stream, right? And you get like 0.00 cent per stream, right? So now the performances won't pay you. Your streams won't pay you. Samro, if you get your music, if you manage to get your music on air, right, which is another marketing strategy that's important, you'll have to start with the community. If you don't have a who's pushing you, the people that will give you your first opportunity for your music to be out there is community. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a lot of online radio stations that have just mushroomed, yeah, just like podcasts, which is a beautiful thing. Although they don't pay as much and they don't give you as much exposure, but it's a start, right? That gets you going. And eventually, you know, somebody at some point, but you just have to keep submitting your music. But the days of going to knock at YFM, knock at Metro FM, those days are over. You literally, almost every radio station that I know now, for you to submit your music, you do it online.
Online, yeah.
So everything's also, you get your distribution online. You then get your promotion online, you submit your music online, and then you just get as much music out there as possible. And then you now start promoting your pages. So if your music is on YouTube, your music is on TikTok, your music is on Instagram or whatever, then you start promoting your platforms. But that also, for me, it might be, you know, small money is to say it costs 100 rands to promote, but for somebody else, though, some of our artists, you know, they're distributing, they're going online, standing at the, you know, on the fence by the library because that's where the free Wi-Fi is. So for them, it's not cheap at all. So, but the online stuff, it works. It, you know, you just have to keep pumping in those 100 rands, 200 rands just to get your promotion rolling.
You've just made me feel like it's doom and gloom out there. Are there guys who are thriving, you know, they're marketing their work well and the world is seeing them. When I mean the world, I mean the world that they're seeking, not necessarily the universe. Are people getting traction out there, doing well in this space?
Yeah, I think so, because I mean there's the one thing that is great about it now is that there's no monopoly over the industry,
yes,
right? So if SABC is not seeing my value, REMS will see my value.
Yeah.
Somebody else will see my value. So there's a lot of artists. Spotify has over 1 million artists on it. They would have not had a single chance.
Mm.
You know, I would not know about them. So the difference now is that there's a lot of choice. But it's not only happening in the music industry. It's happening everywhere. It's happening in the media industry where we used to have SABC 1, 2, 3.
Mm.
Then we had DSTV. It came with 100 channels. Now we have podcasts. How many podcasts are out there?
Tell me about
it. It's happening in the fashion industry. We only had Edgar's and Starter Fords. Then we had Mr. Price. It was a game changer. Now we have Shein and this and this. You know, so it's a free for all world. And it's, you have to be smart. You have to be, that's why some of us, we're working as much as we're doing this.
Yeah.
You know, you have to have a different number of hustles. You have to explore different avenues to get your income. It will not, or you know, at first be from music, but there's many other things that that you as a human being talented are gifted with. So part of this whole super gene idea is that one of the things that religion colonization did is that it squashed our multi-dimensionality as human beings, especially as Africans, right? So we only now, we can only do one thing at a time, think of one thing at a time, because we've been so, you know, structured, you know, in so many ways, so that we are not living in our full potential. So part of the super gene is to say, it's your responsibility to discover your multiverse and your multiple gifts. Because as I sit here, it's not just music that's my gift. I write, I craft, I do so many things. I produce, not only in music, but also in film.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a lot of stuff. I know that I can do so much, because when I'm at home, the ideas that run through my mind, there's so many. It's not because I'm special. It's just because that's how I'm built. And I think there's a lot of us who are also like that. Yourself, you were this corporate, you know, hardcore corporate. And now you're just this laid back guy. You're just doing you, you know. It's always been there.
I've embraced poverty.
No. You've embraced your other dimension,
yeah,
right? And I like to make this example to say in the US, actually, we are just getting into it. So in the first world, for example, mostly the US, we live with one singular brain function. But in the US, that's why you hear people saying, I work two jobs.
Because
they always, you know, they'll have a day job and a night job. But most of the time, the other job is like for the left brain. The other one is for the right brain. And it's another argument. They say you have to change careers at least three times in your life, because first part of your career will usually be your left brain focused, because that's what you went to school. It's a formal. Mm. And then when you get older, then you know, life will push you after 40 to now entertain your right brain, you know, so you get into the creative space. And then, so now I'm saying there's also you cut it across. It's no longer left and right brain. There's an up and, you know, and other spheres. So we have to, we are getting to the point now as Africans. Nigerians have been doing it, you know. West Africans, actually, let me say as a whole, have been doing it. East Africans, that's why when internet came, for the longest time, Kenya was leading with social media. And then we just caught on. So that's why we like, you know, stressing like, you know, this, we defragmented, right? And disorientated. But our Western brothers, that's why we say Nigerians, those guys are so crude, because they live in the multiple dimensions of their brain. If you talk to that guy, he's got 10 projects that he's working on. He doesn't.
And on Sunday, he's a pastor.
And he's still relaxed and he's still happy. Yeah. You know, he's not stressed. He's not complaining. He understands that's the game, you know. And if you talk to people in the first world that we think are living a better life, I was just sitting to talking to a friend on Sunday who's Croatian. And I was saying, you know, in South Africa, you have maids, you have people that clean for you, you have this. And I've been in Europe, I've lived in Europe. You do everything yourself. So I think we just,
I know that
culture shock
way too well. Right? Yeah. I spent 7 weeks or so in Australia, and my hosts were wealthy people. They clean their own homes, they do their own washing. They don't even have pay TV. Like, you know, and we don't realize that they actually...
Yeah, so it's not gloom, it's life. Yeah. That's the world has been there. We are just sort of catching on. And because, you know, not that South Africans, we don't like change, but we've just been through so many changes. I think we're like, it's too soon.
We need a break.
You know, we're like, it's too soon. But you know what? Change is good. This is good change because, I mean, look at the liberation that it has brought us. You know, I've had so many big doors shut at me, but every time a big door shuts at me, somebody comes, you know, somebody's like, I've got a podcast, I'll host you.
Right. But then, you know? So I last week, I sold the last copy of my book, and I'm selling from the boot of my car. That's how I always put it. Of course, there were books on the bookshelves and stuff like that, but I sold more myself. You know, the feeling of pride of writing to the distributor and say, I need more copies. But as a musician, where now music is streaming, you can't, you know, in the past you'd meet guys with CDs and selling their CDs from the boot of the cars. They don't have that advantage that I have, because a book is a physical thing that I keep in my car, and wherever I go, I sell this book. How do I tell a musician, what else could they do to get their product going?
So the first part is the physical part, is get yourself out there. It doesn't take much. You can stand in the, middle of the road and sing.
Right?
That's why I'm saying we overcapitalize. So I'm going to move a bit from music and just use another example that's like, so I ran a business a while ago, which was, it was a mixed land use, right? So I had a salon, a studio, a spa, a guest house, a this and that and that. So my business is that, so at first I wanted to do this myself. I wanted to do all of it myself. And then I figured, no, let me just lease these things out and focus on my core business, which was the hospitality part. So when the guy came, one of the people came every time, let me just say, every time that one person wants to rent like the salon space, the one thing they want to invest in is the deco of the salon. They want to remove everything the previous guy had, the chandeliers, the lights, the this, the that. And they will spend like 50,000 minimum on just, you know,
the optics.
The optics and making sure that it's their brand and whatever. And, you know, it doesn't matter what you tell them is there. Like, if you tell them, look, this is already fitted, just get in there, sit. Just, you'll do those things. Like, get the business going.
Yes.
No.
Get the customers.
We're so brand orientated as South Africans. We over-capitalize our passions. And a passion's not meant to be capitalized. It's just meant to be experienced and shared. And then the money comes from that. So a lot of the people would come, start the business there. After 3 months, they're gone. Because now when the place is beautiful now, it's everything. Now, only then you go out and tell people that there's this beautiful thing. And guess what? Everything in your saloon is exclusive, right? So you don't do a relaxer. You don't do soft and free. You only do Mizani.
Okay.
You know. So
as you know, I wouldn't know what he's talking about.
You know. So but look at our African brothers. So even before we learn from the guys who went to Harvard, just learn from our African brothers. They will just put a chair in the middle of the street. Mm-hmm. There, look at location. They've got the location right. They've got the marketing right.
Mostly for free. That location is free.
It's free. Right? Exactly.
The most expensive course for them is methylated spirits.
Same with the music. You know, we are so indoctrinated. It's still the apartheid thing, you know, the colonization thing. Because in my mind, because if I want to be successful, I have to go to school and be taught to be successful over a period of years. I come back with a certificate and then I get a job. So same way you thinking, oh, for me to be a successful musician, I must have a record deal. Universal must sign me up. Sony might sign me up, give me an advance. So you're looking for a job in a way because your mind has been, you know. But actually, all you want to do is sing and you want to make money from your singing. If I promise you, if I went out right now and I stood in the middle of the junction there, Newtown, where I passed when I came here, I just get one of my guys with a mic, a speaker, just a speaker from Chinatown, 300 rand.
Yeah.
I start singing, even if Gatlaila. I don't even have to sing fancy stuff like what you see on YouTube. Yeah. I can do anything. Somebody's going to drop 10 rand there. Another person's going to drop 20 rand. Another person's going to drop 50 rand. By the time I leave this afternoon, at least Gatlaila can only like 200 bucks. I can tell you for free.
And you could also have a little board there that says, for more of my music, go to www.
Exactly.
Or whatever it is, right?
So it's the comfort zone, but it's the comfort zone because our minds have been so battered. You know?
But also, if it's, I mean, artists, guys, I have to be taken seriously. I can't be basking and singing the Chinatown speaker. I think that's how people think, that am I reducing myself to a beggar?
But you are one. At that point, an artist is somebody that humbly, you know, exposes the world to levels and avenues that only he has discovered. And you are saying, I've discovered this about life, and I want you to come and witness this with me and celebrate it with you. I don't know where you at. I don't know what inspired you to write the song about I was eating bread and with my mom we were suffering. That's your story.
Yeah.
It's a personal thing. Artistry, it's a personal thing. And you are trying to sell your personal story, right? Manifesting that story in a form of a portrait, or you're manifesting it in a form of a song. It's your own thing. You have to bring me into that. I have to buy. That is why the marketing then that comes. So humility, a lot of great artists, it's just we never want to know. A lot of great artists started exactly there. And if we all listen and we take our time and listen to their stories, that is why there's that saying, put yourself out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you humble yourself because you know that whatever that you're doing, it's about you. It's not about the next person. So you have to humble yourself as an artist. And that is why if an artist doesn't go through... So that is what I call a rite of passage.
Yeah,
right?
It's a rite of passage.
The reason why we struggle and we have artists, then when they are there, then now they are in drugs and whatever, it's because they have not gone through the process, you know?
Mm.
And we think in the way we've been so confused, we think Twasa is going to, you know, epehlweni and wearing certain clothes and inyongo and those things. But uk Twasa, you have to Twasa for your own life. You have your own right of passage of your own. That's different to mine. I cannot tell you what yours is. If your right of passage is for you to stand in Newtown and do that, that's the stage you have to go through. That's the price, literally the price you have to pay. Yeah. Because every point of glory, you know, every mountain peak has a valley. Mm-hmm. So if your valley is to go through singing in small street or go
singing in small street, man, you'll be mugged. Maybe somewhere else.
It's part of your story.
Okay. So finally, you know, the famous phrase in sales is that people buy the jockey, not the horse, right? Does that also apply in the artistic or in the creative space where it doesn't matter how much you produce your music or your books, people must appreciate Nano first, must like this human being. And if that's true, what would you advise people who produce creative work to do to be in a space where somebody says, I like this person, therefore I want to know more about what they do?
Yeah, I don't know about that, hey, because a lot of us, we're not really likable, hey? Artists are not, I'm a grumpy person. Yeah. I have to be honest with you. I'm very grumpy and I'm very, very allergic to humans. Like, you know, I've had times. No, honestly, you know, I've had times when I've had neighbors come to visit and I've had to tell my kids, say, I'm not home, you know. And these are people I love, yeah. You know. So I'm not likable. I'm very hard as well, you know. But I know for a fact that I'm not a bad person. I know that I'm a good person. Mm-hmm. So, and I know that I'm very loving. So I've found that in life, often the most precious things, right? Things that will heal you, like they come disguised in horribleness, yeah. Right? So even yourself, I'm sure there's a good guy in there, you know, that some people never saw. They're gonna see that good guy in 20 years' time. Mm-hmm. So likeability is grace. It's a gift. If I like you, it's just grace. Just be glad it's happening today. It might not be there tomorrow. That is why people are up today, tomorrow they're down. The same people put you on a pedestal are the same people that are gonna drop you. The work that you really need to do is on yourself, you know. Be at peace with who God has created you to be, who your ancestors have created you to be, because you're not only representing yourself, you're representing generations and generations and generations of people that have died, that have paid blood for you to be here, you know. And one of my a close person that used to be very close to me said, you know, what we don't realize as Africans is that when it rains, you know, the rain that, you know, when it comes down and it waters the plant and the plants that grow from that and we eat that, it's literally our blood, you know. We literally eat our own blood. And that blood then gets back into us and it's crying in us to say, we need you to get this done. You know, we fought, now what are you doing? Mm. And that should be the only thing you're worrying about in this life. That are you doing right by the shoulders upon which you stand? You know, are you doing right by the person that makes sure that in the morning when you breathe, the oxygen comes in, whether you believe it's God or whatever you believe it is? And you know, you'll make mistakes. I mean, in the process of us from the time we were walking up the stairs to come here, I could have said something that could have easily offended you, you know, and the same to you. So those are fragilities of life, and you can't put a tag. You can't live for that. You can't live for likability. It's going to tax you. You're not going to survive. But live for purpose. Live for what you know, that when you die, because when you die, it's either some people believe you go to heaven or you go to wherever, Make sure that wherever you're going to be going there, you know, you're not going to find a file waiting for you saying, hey, go back, ubupuka, uretwenya, ubatladikomu, di ing-ing, you know.
Yeah.
And I know for us, it's difficult to say, ish, when somebody starts talking about when you die, it means now already they can't manage this, they're already thinking that far. But it is a factor.
I had said finally, but finally. Would you consider doing a workshop, especially for young upcoming artists, on how to promote their work?
Always, anytime.
You should do that.
Definitely.
Should do that.
Definitely.
Nano Mutivi, thank you so much.
Thank you
do amazing work. Thank you for coming here. Thank you for being my last guest of 2025. And I wish you all the best for the rest of the year and the beginning of next year.
Same to you.
And thank you for watching this episode of Taking the Rems by the Horns. Subscribe, comment, share, right? That's how we grow. All the best for the remainder of the year. We shall see you on the other side. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.